U.S.-European relations have weathered a number of controversies in recent years. Perhaps most notable among them was the crisis over Iraq in 2003, which strained transatlantic ties and bitterly divided the European Union itself. But in the past several years, many analysts say, both sides have made efforts to restore strong relations, and recent U.S.-EU summits have sought to emphasize areas of cooperation and partnership, especially in trade and business. U.S. Foreign Affairs Specialist John Holzman at the German Council on Foreign Relations in Berlin says political relations have also noticeably improved, particularly since the coming to power of new old Europe leaders. He says French President Nicolas Sarkozy and Britain's Prime Minister Gordon Brown have joined German Chancellor Angela Merkel in changing the tenor and substance of the transatlantic dialogue.
Blair got into trouble for being too close to President Bush, and Chirac got in trouble for being too far away from President Bush. So now you have Brown and Sarkozy moving to almost a common position, which is the one where Merkel is. She set the groundwork to be much more pro-American than Schroeder was, but make it clear that you're allowed to disagree with America while being a friend of America. And that fine line is the line that Brown and Sarkozy are trying to walk after her.
But Holzman adds that despite better rapport at the government level, America's standing in Europe's public opinion has yet to be restored. Dana Allen of the London-based International Institute for Strategic Studies agrees. He says many Europeans remain wary of U.S. foreign policy goals, which they say often override the interests of America's friends and allies.
Popular affinities are tattered, and you can see this in extraordinary low levels of public support in various European countries for the U.S. We don't really know how easily American moral prestige will rebound. It hasn't really sunk this low for a long time.
Allen says Europeans view the Middle East differently than Americans, for example.
There's a much greater consensus in Europe across the board, including a very Atlanticist country like Britain, that resolution of the Israel-Palestine conflict is crucial to broader stability in the Middle East and relations with the Arab and Muslim world. Americans have tended to look at it the opposite way. They're saying they need a reformation in the Arab world in order to make Israeli-Palestinian peace possible.
Moreover, says Allen, Europeans fear the U.S. is losing the battle for Muslim hearts and minds as a result of its military action in Iraq and some of its practices in combating terrorism. Many Europeans would like to see the Guantanamo Bay detention center closed because they say it disregards international human rights accords. Europeans are also concerned about the American program to detain and question suspected terrorists outside of the United States. Many analysts say most disagreements stem from the competing foreign policy and security doctrines the U.S. and Europe have developed since the end of the Cold War. Europeans generally favor compromise, political and economic engagement with adversaries, and rarely opt for war. Americans, mindful of U.S. global security responsibilities, often say unilateral action is justified to prevent serious threats. Michael Brenner of the University of Pittsburgh says that more than 60 years after World War II, the transatlantic partners need to forge a new 21st century security arrangement. He argues it's time for Europe to be more assertive.
Europe and America, each of which knows its own mind, and each of which is prepared to act in the world, and on that basis prepared to act in concert, will simply be more effective in dealing with problems than is currently the case. Allies can provide a corrective. They can raise questions. They can make it clear that doing certain things have some cost. The current balance is so out of whack that you pay a heavy price for it, and we are.
Brenner says the next test for the transatlantic relationship is how to deal with Iran's nuclear ambitions. U.S. officials consider it an urgent matter that threatens security and stability in the Middle East. They say military strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities are not off the table if diplomacy fails. But most Europeans strongly oppose use of force against Iran, says John Holzman of the German Council on Foreign Relations.
Iran is the deal breaker. All these good trends go out the window if the United States unilaterally bombs Iran. I think one more good knock of public opinion at America behaving unilaterally in terms of military action, this difficult, tenuous, frustrating, but incredibly important and prosperous alliance comes to an end.
Still, some experts, including Dana Allen of the International Institute for Strategic Studies, say there are signs that some European nations, like Britain and France, are close to adopting the U.S. position. He points to French President Sarkozy's recent statement on Iran.
He said that the choice could come down to a choice between an Iranian bomb or bombing Iran. And he said an attack against Iran would probably be catastrophic, but an Iranian nuclear bomb would also be unacceptable.
President Sarkozy, some analysts note, is seeking a bolder global security role for Europe, which would remain strongly allied with the United States. For Focus, I'm Yela De Franceschi.
Blair got into trouble for being too close to President Bush, and Chirac got in trouble for being too far away from President Bush. So now you have Brown and Sarkozy moving to almost a common position, which is the one where Merkel is. She set the groundwork to be much more pro-American than Schroeder was, but make it clear that you're allowed to disagree with America while being a friend of America. And that fine line is the line that Brown and Sarkozy are trying to walk after her.
Popular affinities are tattered, and you can see this in extraordinary low levels of public support in various European countries for the U.S. We don't really know how easily American moral prestige will rebound. It hasn't really sunk this low for a long time. There's a much greater consensus in Europe across the board, including a very Atlanticist country like Britain, that resolution of the Israel-Palestine conflict is crucial to broader stability in the Middle East and relations with the Arab and Muslim world. Americans have tended to look at it the opposite way. They're saying they need a reformation in the Arab world in order to make Israeli-Palestinian peace possible.
Europe and America, each of which knows its own mind, and each of which is prepared to act in the world, and on that basis prepared to act in concert, will simply be more effective in dealing with problems than is currently the case. Allies can provide a corrective. They can raise questions. They can make it clear that doing certain things have some cost. The current balance is so out of whack that you pay a heavy price for it, and we are.
Iran is the deal breaker. All these good trends go out the window if the United States unilaterally bombs Iran. I think one more good knock of public opinion at America behaving unilaterally in terms of military action, this difficult, tenuous, frustrating, but incredibly important and prosperous alliance comes to an end.
He said that the choice could come down to a choice between an Iranian bomb or bombing Iran. And he said an attack against Iran would probably be catastrophic, but an Iranian nuclear bomb would also be unacceptable.